Father Almighty, we are in your presence this morning that you have given to us to be part of those who are listening to your word. Thank you, Father, for selecting me to speak on your behalf. And thank you for my brother and my sister who's watching this sermon online, or whether he is present here. We pray that your Holy Spirit should come and lead us from the beginning to the end of this particular moment. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. We may be seated. Good morning, church. We are so happy to be in the presence of the Lord this morning and to be part of those who are going to share the word of God. I'm greeting especially my brother Badesire. It's my first time to hear the name of Badesire. That I'm born Badesire too. So welcome in the house of the Lord, and may the Lord bless you with us. Amen. So this moment we are going to read the word of God in Matthew chapter 9 from 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, 35 to 36. Let's read the word of God. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. The word of God says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers in his harvest field." That is the word of God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this morning we are going to reflect on a word which is just a challenge that Jesus is giving to his disciples, and even today he's sharing this challenge to us. And the topic for our sermon is, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." That is the topic for today. It's a challenge. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The first thing we should underline in this topic is that Jesus is giving some characteristics of his ministry. Jesus was a preacher of the word of God, and he used to preach the word of God in towns and villages. That means he has no limits. It means salvation is both for rich and poor men, but no distinction in terms of salvation. The second characteristics of the mission of Jesus is that he was teaching in churches. He used the synagogues. He chose places where he could meet a big number of people, places where he needed to explain the Holy Scripture, especially the law, and to correct some false teachings and false belief in the community. Also, he was proclaiming good news of the kingdom of God. He was also a healer, because he used to heal every disease and illness. That means he meets physical and spiritual needs of the people. He set free people from leprosy, demons, and so on. That was the short characteristics of the mission of Jesus in his time. And then, after doing his mission, or by doing his mission, he just gives a conclusion, and the conclusion is just a challenge, and we want to reflect together on this challenge that Jesus gave. And the challenge is that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What did Jesus mean by this challenge that he shared with his disciples? The first thing we should underline when Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful but the workers are few, he just makes a balance between people who need to be saved and those who are expected to preach the good news around the world. And through this balance that he made, it's where he took this conclusion that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful. That means that we are living in the last day time, and Jesus is expecting a big number of people to be saved. Yeah, a big number of people to come toward him, a big number to get salvation. And that we can read it in Galatians chapter 5 from 19 to 20. That can help us to know, to guess that really Jesus wants people to come to him, because people are harassed by a lot of evils. And then we read the text of Galatians chapter 5 from 19 to 20 that will help us to know really that people need salvation. Galatians chapter 5 verse 19 to 20. I think the media team have already projected the text, but let's read it together. Galatians chapter 5 from 19 to 20. The Bible says, the acts of the flesh, it means people who need salvation, they are living and they have acts that are led by their flesh. And the Bible says, the act of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, faction and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus have already guessed a number of people who will not inherit the kingdom of God. But his mission is not that these people should perish, but his mission is to see people who are living in fornication, people who are living in witchcraft, people who are living idolatry, people who are living impurity, people who are living debauchery, people who are discorded and jealousy. Jesus wants these people to come to him, to be received by him, to be connected to him. And that's why he says, the harvest is plentiful. And we have a big number of people who are waiting for salvation because they are going through difficulties. They want to live, to be set free through fornication or other faults that we have shown in the Bible, that they have no one to help them. You know, God don't want death such kinds of people, but he wants their changes. And that's what we can read in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 23. Jesus wants them to change. He wants them to be transformed. And that's why he's saying the harvest is plentiful. A big number of people is waiting to be saved. Ezekiel chapter 18, 23, the Bible says, Ezekiel chapter 18, 23, the Bible says, do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the sovereign Lord. Rather, I'm not pleased when they turn from their way and leave. That's the question. God, Jesus, is not taking pleasure in the death of the wicked people. He wants their changes. He wants them to be transformed. He wants them to be connected to the Word of God. And the Bible says that God, Jesus, did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save it. The Bible says it in John chapter 3, from 17 to 21. We can read the text. John 3, 17 to 21. The Bible says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the Son of the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Amen. So brothers and sisters, we are living in the world where people are living according to their flesh. And God, by his grace and love and mercy, he wants these people to be transformed. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to be connected to the Word of God. And that's why Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. Jesus also, according to the word that we've read, he wants also to comfort people who are just going through trials. He wants also to bring help to people. He wants also to heal people who are sick. But especially these people who are going through darkness, these people who are sinning, he wants them to be transformed. And that's why he says the harvest is plentiful. Everywhere we are living, in our society, in our workplaces, at home, and everywhere, we have people who need to be saved. But Jesus gives a challenge. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Who are these workers? These workers, it's you, it's me, it's all people who have already believed in Jesus as their personal savior. But why Jesus is saying that the workers are few? You know, our mission as Christians, according to Matthew chapter 28 from 16 to 20, is to make disciples of all nations. So people who are living through sins, the Lord wants these people to come to be connected to him. And that is our mission as Christians, to make disciples or nation. No matter sins people are making, God wants them to be these people to be connected to him. No matter the country these people are living, God wants these people to come to him. And the one who will do this mission, it's you, it's me, because the harvest is plentiful. When we read in Matthew, in Romans chapter 10, from 13 to 15, we can see that Jesus is expecting to Christians to preach the good news, the gospel around the world, so that people may believe in Jesus and be saved. Romans chapter 10, from 13 to 15, the Bible says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. So God is expecting people to hear his word and believe in him and be connected to him. But the question is how these people will believe in the word without someone preaching the word of God to these people. That's the main question. How? Remember that Jesus has already given us a mission to bring the good news around the world to all nations so that people may believe in him. So now we have our responsibility to go and preach the word of God around the world because this is our mission. Now, how comes that workers are few? That's my question. I can see in this audience, we are around 160, or let me say 170. It's a big number. Around us, we have a big number of people who want to be connected to Christ. And we have a mission. The Lord has already given to us his Holy Spirit. He poured the Holy Spirit in us and he gave us strength and power and abilities to preach the word of God. We are 170. But the main question, how comes that we are few in terms of reaching this harvest which is plentiful? Hello? We are 170 or maybe 200. Why Jesus is saying that we are few? And statistics in Congo says that we are around 90% of Christians in Congo. Or let me say 85% of Christians in Congo. Is it, Papa Sekera? More than 85% of people in Congo, we are Christians. How comes that Jesus can make this conclusion, this declaration saying the harvest is plentiful but workers are few? I should ask you, brothers and sisters, this question. How many of us are ready to go and preach the word of God around the world? We are 170 or 200, but among us, how many of us are ready to go and preach the word of God? I do not ask to us to show our hands, no, but you know in your hearts. Are you ready to be part of these people that Jesus is asking to go and bring these people to him? I think when comes to Christian to do this mission, and it's worse that's problems. Many of us are not ready to go and preach the word of God. Statistics shows that the number of people involved in ministry is small, is less than 20% of people. It means if we are 200 here in this auditorium, it means less than 40 people could show up their hand saying, I'm ready to go and preach the word of God. But Christian brothers and sisters, why are we not ready to go and preach the word of God? Why? That's the main question. Whether Jesus is waiting, is expecting from us to bring a big number of people to him. You know, we are living last days and Jesus is waiting through us, people, to be saved, to be connected to him. He has already prepared everything, the kingdom of God, not only for Christians, for you, my brother and my sister, but for other people who are still sinning, for these people who are living through idolatry, fornication. Jesus is expecting also these people to come and to be connected to him. But why are not we ready to go and preach the word of God? It means Jesus has already saw that workers are few. Why workers are few? A big number of Christians are busy. We are so busy with our jobs, our studies, in market, travel, sports, Everything. We are busy. We are not ready to go and preach the word of God. We are busy. Too busy. A big number of Christians are distracted. They don't know or they forget what is their mission. They are focused on their own needs and desires. Brothers and sisters, this morning the Lord is admonishing us that we have a mission. A number of Christians are even to be evangelized because they are living according to their flesh. And that's what the word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 from 1 to 9. The Bible says really clearly that there are other Christians who are to be evangelized. The word the Lord is expecting them to be evangelists, whoever they are, people who are to be evangelized. That's a challenge, contradiction. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from 1 to 9. The Bible says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of God, treacherous and rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having form of good lines but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. I can even stop by there. It means Christians, they are living like people who are expected to be evangelized. So that's a contradiction. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is asking us to get a holy life. This will help us to accomplish our mission. People are not ready to sacrifice themselves for God's task. Others in church, they are coming just, but they are not yet deeply connected to Christ. And also we have less compassion. Yeah, a big number of Christians have less compassion. So brothers and sisters, this morning, the Lord is still claiming, saying, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, in conclusion, what to do according to this challenge that Jesus is sharing with us this morning? What are we going to do as Christians? Number one, we should be deeply connected to Christ. That will help us to go and preach the word of God. Second thing, we should pray, as Jesus says, ask the Lord to send out workers in his harvest. Because you are not ready. You are not ready. But now pray. Ask the Lord to send out workers into his harvest. Jesus is expecting from you this prayer. How many of us are taking even 30 minutes to pray? Only to pray, to ask, to beg God to send out people to preach the good news. This is also a second secret. The third secret, to be ready to be sent out. Be ready, my brother and my sister. It's not you who will work. It's Jesus himself who will work through you. So you are not to be afraid. It's not your work. It's not your task. It's God's responsibility. He will give you power. He will give you strength and everything you need in terms of accomplishing his mission. So be only ready. The Lord will strengthen you. He will give you power. Number three, support financially those who get ready for this mission. You know, our money, our wealth, it's also for God's mission. We should be ready to support financially those people who are ready to preach the good news. We have missions in Congo, for example, in Kisangani, in Kinshasa, in Lubumbashi, and any other ways in Kampala. People need for money so that they may preach the word of God. But they are so limited because financially we are not yet in the level that we are expecting. Number five, we should support into prayer those who are ready to go and preach the word of God. We should pray for the harvest so that God may attract people to Jesus for the salvation. Pray also for these people who are about to be saved. Pray for them. They need to be saved, but they have no people to tell them the truth. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the Lord is challenging us, telling the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Our declaration this morning should be, I would not be among these workers who are not ready to preach the word of God, but I want to be among those few workers. And let me say that at the last day, the Lord will ask to each one of us a report of what he's given to you, the gift that he's given to you. How are you practicing this gift that the Lord has given to you? Brothers and sisters, we are concluding this text saying, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray the Lord so that you must also be among these workers who are few, but also pray for these people who are ready to preach the word of God. Support them into prayer financially and in any other way that the Lord will show you. Let's pray together this morning. You'll be reflecting, asking yourself, how am I accomplishing this mission that the Lord has given to me? If the Lord should come here at Gomaville or meet my brother who is watching this service online and ask you, are you among these few workers? What answer should you give to him? Let's pray. Lord Almighty, we've heard your word. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I pray for my brother and my sister. Help him so that he may involve in your work, in your ministry, to be part of these people that you are calling for the good news. Bless us. Heal us. We want to be connected to you and do what you are expecting from us. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and God bless his word. Amen.